Okay, good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf nun dalid. The shiur today is sponsored by Avram and Shendi Kelman in honor of the yahrzeit of Avram's father, Rafael Yechiel ben Avram, Zichron Levracha. Is our learning this morning should be an aliyah for his neshama and nechama for the family. Okay, so we're picking up on... the third line down on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. So we've been dealing with this question. We've been talking about how the Mizbeach was constructed such that there was no southeastern corner because of the Yesod, of that one Amma base that went around the Mizbeach, because pretty much it covered the full northern part of the Mizbeach, the western part of the Mizbeach, and then it was just an Amma in on the southern side, and it was an Amma in on the eastern side, at the southwestern and northeastern corners. So therefore, the southeastern corner and most of those, the southern and eastern walls, did not have a Yesod, did not have a base. So the Gemara asks, Meisvei, I'll ask you as follows. It says, Ola Sa'of. Now, if you remember, we've discussed this many times, that the two things that are done on the top, on the upper portion of the Mizbeach, are the Chatas and the Ola Sa'ov. So now we're going to talk about the Ola Sa'ov. Ketzad Haysa Nasis. How was it done? Hayamolak Yisrosha. And Rashi points out that we're dealing here with where he went up the ramp and he went to the southeastern corner. And it says Hayamolak Yisrosha. He would do Malika. Malika is that process of using the thumbnail, the fingernail of the thumb that the Kohen would do something that's equivalent of Shechita with that. Mimul Arpa. So Arpa is the back of the head. So Mimul Arpa, opposite the back of the head, is the base of the neck. Umavdil, and he would separate. What's it talking about here, separating? So as Rashi points out, it's best understood as to what it's compared to, that the Chata Sa'ov, the halacha by chatas, by when you're bringing a bird chatas, was that it says lo yavdil, that you should not, the pasuk says you should not separate. Rashi understands that to mean that you should not cut both the trachea and the windpipe. That you should not cut through. In the case of a chatas ha'of, you should not cut through them both. That's what Rashi understands to be yavdil, and you should only do one. Versus here, you should do two, that you have to get through, that the coins malika by olas ha'of, as distinct from chatas ha'of, needs to basically go through both the windpipe and the trachea. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Rambam, might learn that havdalah means literally whether you take off the head or you don't take off the head. But in any event, in the case of a Ola Sa'of, you do Havdalah, so either you do both, at a minimum you do both pipes. Umematza Dama Al Kir HaMizbeach. And then, as we've discussed, you put the, after he's sprinkled the blood, he would squeeze it out on the wall of the Mizbeach. So now the question they have is as follows. V'iyamrit. So since, as Rashi pointed out, we're dealing with a Kohen who was on the southeastern corner, so there's no Yesod there. V'i Amrit lo hava lo Yesod. And if you're going to tell me that there was no Yesod, and therefore he's pushing out the blood on the wall and it's going down, Bavir ba'alma hu dekavid. So then he's doing it just in the air, and the blood that he's squeezing out is going to go nowhere. It's going to not even go on the Yesod. And there's the idea that the pasuk says that you do kol dam, all of the blood should be put out on the yisod, and here it's going out into nothingness because there's no yisod there. So this is a question on those who said, as we were discussing yesterday, that there was no yisod in the southeastern corner. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, Emar, what we should say is kach hisnu, so they agreed, avir de binyamin, karka de Yehuda. So if you remember, what we were dealing with yesterday was the idea that this portion that we were talking about not having a Yesod is because it was in the portion of Yehuda. And the Mizbeach needed to be in the portion of Binyamin. So we're saying as follows, that that they had a deal that the airspace belonged to Binyamin, and the ground was Yehuda. So what, as Rashi explains, and Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos in this, but we'll just address Rashi, that we're gonna say that is, as follows. Rashi, if you take a look at Rashi, Emar Kach, so he says, the ikala meimar, you could say lemalam gimel the lav karkahu also kemin blita ketana keneged also a karen lekabel ban dam olasov. So he says as follows, that above three tvachim, which is not karka. So what Rashi's, the first thing Rashi's dealing with is if you have something that's less than three tvachim from the ground, it's considered attached to the ground, and we're talking about something that should not be attached to the ground. So he said they had like a little blita katana, it was like a little projection, it was like a little platform that would be on the corner of the Mizbeach, and its point was to be makabo, the blood of the Olas HaOv, Shelo Yipa La'aretz, that it shouldn't fall to the ground. And Rashi says, V'kir Mizbeach Mikri. He says this, so in other words, basically what Rashi's saying is that there was this, they made a deal. They said that the ground might be belong to Shevet Yehuda, but the airspace belongs to Shevet Binyamin. And therefore, they put a little platform that would catch the blood. And Rashi says, so that's considered, it's not considered it's considered the part of the wall of Mizbeach. Avo Yisod lo Mikri, lahakshir karen lamatin dam matzrichin li nasin keneged ha-yisod, shene yisod elam yusod baret. So he says as follows. He says, while this was enough to consider that the blood wasn't going to waste, but it's part of the wall, it's not part of the base. He says, this little outcropping, as long as it's above three tvachim from the ground, is not considered a yisod, and if it's not considered a yisod, therefore that's the reason that the southeastern corner cannot be used for anything that required a yisod. So if, for example, that's why we've said all along that the ola cannot be, the blood of the ola cannot be in that corner, because the ola requires a yisod, and this is not a yisod. A yisod is only something, Rashi says, hamiyusod baretz, which is established on the ground. So therefore, that's the answer, is that they had this little outcropping in the airspace of Binyamin, but in fact there was no yisod. So that's the answer to the question from this Braisa, which seemed to say that it seemed to think that there must be there's a yisod, because we wouldn't let the blood go to waste, and the answer is no, the blood would go onto this outcropping that was considered an extension of the wall. Okay, so now we're saying my lo have lo yisod. So I referenced this yesterday. Exactly what does it mean that there was no yisod? So we have a machlokas amrayim here, Rav Amr bebinyan. Mean, as we've been talking about, that there was no physical structure for most of the southern and eastern portion of the Mizbeach, there was no yisod. Levi Omer bedamim. It says, Levi, on the other hand, understands that there was actually, unlike what we've been discussing all along, that there was a physical structure. A yisod went all around all four sides of the Mizbeach, but this portion that we've been talking about, everything except for one amma on the southern portion, everything except for one amma on the eastern portion, it existed physically, but it was not considered part of the Mizbeach that you could put damim on. Why? Because as Rashi points out, because this was in the Chelik of Yehuda. So the way Levi understands it is that there was a physical structure, it did not have Kedushas Mizbeach, because the kadosh part of the Mizbeach needed to be in the Chelik of Binyamin. And as we discussed yesterday, this portion of the ground where that Yesod rested was in the Chelik of Yehuda. So the Gemara continues and discusses, so we discussed yesterday that the psukim written by Binyamin, basically said, that he had the zchus that Yaakov, when he was giving the brachas, we talked about Binyamin Zev Zitrof, that Yaakov Avinu saw with Ruach HaKodesh that Binyamin would have the Mizbeach in his portion. So now it's interesting. So we have Machlokas Rav and Levi about exactly was it built or not built. And you're going to see that the way that they have the version they have of the Targum, of the Psukim written by Yaakov Avinu, is going to be different based on this view. Rav Metargim, Rav explained the Psukim over there, Bachsante Yaspene Madbucha, that in his portion, or in the portion that was allocated to Binyamin, sat the Mizbeach. Levi Metargim, Levi's version of Targum said, Bachsante Yaspene Makdesha, that in his portion sat something that had kedusha. So what's the difference? According to Rav, it says that the mizbeach sat in the portion of Binyamin. So therefore, the entire mizbeach had to be in the section of Binyamin, which is why physically it had to be cut out, because there was, you needed, the way that Targum explained that what he was foreseeing, that what Yaakov Avinu was foreseeing was that the entire Mizbeach would be in the Chelik of Binyamin, and therefore, there could not be a Yesod that was actually built. Versus, Levi understood the Targum is just saying that the Kedusha, that the holy part, which would be the part that the Avoda gets done on, that had to be in the Chelik of Binyamin. But it was okay if you had a piece of the Yesod, as long as you didn't use that piece of the Yesod for purposes of things that needed to go to the Yesod, because it didn't have that Kedusha. So he says, Makom Mekudesh L'damim, the way Levi would understand it is that the Mizbeach the Chelek of Binyamin had to hold the area that was Mekudesh, that was made holy for Damim. So therefore, everything that needed to be done, the Avodah of Dam, needed to be done on the portions of the Yesod that were in the Chelik of Binyamin, but it was okay if you had a physical structure in the Chelik of Yehuda. Okay, so now we're going to ask a series of questions, trying to determine from different Mishnayos or Brises as to whether there was, in fact, a physical structure along the southern and eastern portions, or there was no physical structure. So Tashma, come in here, from a Mishnah, I believe, in Midos. So he says, Hayesod Hayamahalech al pnei kol hatzafon, that the Yesod, as we've learned, went along the entire northern portion of the Mizbeach. The al pnei kol hamarav, it went down along the western portion of the Mizbeach. Ochel badarum ama achas ube mizrach ama achas, and it would eat. Rashi says it would be tofes. It would grab onto one ama in the south and one ama in the east. So the question is that this seems to imply very clearly that the yesod was only an ama long on the southern and the eastern portion. So that is a question on Levi, who says there was actually a physical structure. Here's something. The Mishnah is describing what we believe to be the physical structure, and it says that it stops one amma in on the southern and eastern portions. So the Gemara says, "My ochel namim bedamim." So he says, "What does it mean when it says that the mizbeach eats this amma? It means that it eats it in the sense that that's the area where you're able to put where you're able to do the avoda, that you could put the dam. But it doesn't mean that there was no physical structure there." There could have been a physical structure, it just wasn't part of the Mizbeach that was usable for purposes of Avodah. So no proof from there. So that was a question on Levi. Now we're going to ask a series of questions on Rav, who says that there was no Chelek there. So let's see. Tashma, HaMizbeach Hoya Shloshim Ushtayim, Al Shloshim Ushtayim. So it says that the Mizbeach, we talked about this yesterday, was 32 Amos by 32 Amos. So that implies that... That implies that it was 32 by 32. So the Gemara says, and so if it was 32 by 32 square, so then obviously it had the Yesod going all around. So the Gemara says, Hachav Mayaskina, and what are we talking about here? Minatzad. We're just saying from the side, meaning if you looked at it from the northern and western portions, each of those was 32 by 32. Now it doesn't mean that it was fully filled in the, because there could have been an area where there was no Yesod. Now, Tosos points out, so he says, in Tosos, Rav Avraham Bibinyan, he says, Afagav de lamate lo havi ribua, lamala b'makam amarocha havi ribua. So, he says, what about the fact that the Mizbeach, we know, needed to be square? So, how did you work this? So basically, Tosos says, it's okay, because as we're gonna see, other than the Yesod, all of the portions of the Mizbeach were square, and in particular, the area where the Karbonis went was square. But okay, so we're understanding that when it says that the Mizbeach was 32 by 32, it just means, the western and northern portions were that way. Okay, so Tashma, come in here. The Gemara says, Nimsa Pareach al Amo Yesod v'al Amo, v'amo al Sovev. Or v'al Amo Sovev. Okay, so what's going on here? So Rashi tells us, that later in Perek Kodshe Kodeshim, on Dach Samach Beis, that the Raminan Masnisan Adadi, that the Gemara is going to be challenged because there seems to be a steer in the Mishnayos, because one of them says, Disnan Chada, we're on the first of the medium, second set of medium lines. So we say, Disnan Chada, Kevesh Hayla, Droy Misham Mizbeach, Urech Lamed Beis. That it says that the ramp that went up to the Mizbeach was 32 Amos, Vamizbeach Lamed Beis Urech, and the Mizbeach itself was 32 Amos, so what does that add up to? That's 64. So Hare Orech Amizbeach Vakevesh Samach Dalet. V'chimani Luhu Adadi Tanana Kevesh Amizbeach Samach Beis. But yet we have a Mishnah that says how, when it's counting them together, it says how long was the Mizbeach and the Kevesh together? It said it was 62. So we have a stira in the Mishnayas. So our Gemara is picking up there. And so what the Gemara is basically explaining is when it says Nimsa Perech Ama Yisod Vama Sovev. So he said that the Gemara's answer is that basically the purpose of the ramp was to get you to the top of the Mizbeach, right? So if you put the ramp as a ramp like this, was 32 Amos, and then you had the Mizbeach 32 Amos, what's going to happen? You're going to have a 2 Amma gap between the top of the Mizbeach, because the Mizbeach is inset, 1 Amma for the Yisod, and 1 Amma for the Sovev, for the ledge that the Kohen walked around. So what the Mishnah explains is basically if this was the Mizbeach, they had to put the ramp up against the Mizbeach, which means the ramp was Pareach, it was floating above the Sovev and above the Yisod, right? So in other words, basically, that 2 Amma gap was eliminated by pushing the ramp over the Yisod and over the Sovev, such that it touched to the Mizbeach, and therefore, so what was it saying? That they overlapped by 2 Ammas. So if you had the Mizbeach is 32, and then you had the ramp is 32, but 2 Ammas of that ramp were on top of the airspace of the Sovev and the Yisod. So that is why the Mishnah said it was only 62 and not 64. But what's the problem with this? Is that it says that the Mizbeach was floating above the Sovev, and it was above the Yisod. And now remember which side of the Mizbeach had the ramp? It was the southern side. So you see that on the southern side of the Mizbeach, and the ramp was centered on it, so it wasn't on the part where it had the 1 Amma that was physically there. So it seems that there was some kind of Yisod there, because the Gemara says that the ramp was Pareach, it was floating above both the Yisod and the Sovev, implies that there was a Sovev there. So the Gemara says, Ema, no, the way you should understand it is, Kenega Amma Yisod, V'al, it says, Kenega Amma Yisod, V'al, Ukineged Amma Sovev. So he says that basically, I'm sorry, let me just see the shita here that it's referring to. Okay, so the basic idea here is as follows, that it went, it was on top of the, it was on top of the Sovev, the actual Sovev where the coin went, and it was on top of the area that had you continued to extend the Sovev, that would have been the Sovev. So in other words, basically, he's saying there's no proof that that's the actual Sovev was there. The area of the extension of the Sovev would have been covered by the ramp, but that does not mean that there was actually a physical Sovev there. Okay, one more that we're going to bring. Tashma. And this is something I referenced yesterday, the day before, exactly how the Mizbeach was constructed. Tashma, the Tani Levi. Levi learned, Ketzad Bonin as a Mizbeach. How would you build the Mizbeach? So Mivian Malbin, Shehu Shloshim Ushtaim al Shloshim Ushtaim. They would bring a Malbin that was 32 Amos by 32 Amos. The Gova Amma, and its height was an Amma. So now, what is a Malbin? So Rashi tells us that a Malbin, he says, Hu Defus, it's like a form, Meruba, that's square, Asui Me Arba Krashim, he says, made from 32 beams, v'chol achas arucho lamed beis, and each of them is 32 amos long, she'osin l'kirayim, he says, v'rochev ha'keresh amo, the width of these beams was 1 amo, v'hu gova shel malben, and that was the height of the malben. So basically, what is he saying? They took a series of boards that were 32 amos by 1 amo, right? And they stood them on their width, so basically it was an amo tall, and it created a form, a square form that we're going to see. They then filled in. Okay? So that's how, so we had a malbin that was 32 by 32 and an amma high. Umevi chiluke avanim mefulamos. they would bring smooth, wet stones. They say because wet, they were in the water, because the water had to make the stones very smooth, because we're going to see later that you can't have any cracks or nicks or imperfections. Everything needs to be smooth. So they would bring these smooth stones, bang gedolos, bang tanos, whether they were big or small, it didn't matter. Maybe sid. Now sometimes we say sid is plaster, but here it's referring to the core ingredient, which is lime. The kunya. Kunya is something Rashi says that's it's nitoch avar, so which is lead. That's kind of a liquefied lead. Sh'osin tzipui letzipui shal klicheres. That used to be a coating on a klicheres. We dealt with this at the end of Avodah Zarah when we were talking about whether something has halacha klicheres or it has when we were talking about how you kasher things. So that's Rashi's view. I'm sorry, Rashi's view is that it's dealing with some kind of lead. Tosos in Nazir, I think, argues with this because he says, why wouldn't they call it Avar? And also the context of the Gemara there in Nazir. So Tosos understands that it's some kind of liquefied glass or something that's not fully finished. But in any event, you have this plaster and this lead or glass. Vizefes, and you have pitch. Umamache, and you dissolve it or you liquefy it. Veshofech, and you pour it in. So basically, they're making some kind of cement. So they would fill this form with lots of smooth stones, and then they would pour this mixture of sid, kunya, and zefes, liquefied sid, kunya, and zefes. And Rashi says that would. You would pour it onto the stones. So he says, basically everything, this mixture would stick all the stones together and make it one whole thing. And the Gemara continues, Zehu makom yisod. And this was the yisod. So the yisod was not a amma by amma, piece that was attached to the Mizbeach, but rather the entire base of the Mizbeach was one big square that you made this form and you filled it in and you basically had a 32 by 32 by 1 square. V'chozer umevi malbin. So then you go bring a slightly smaller malbin. Shahu shloshim amma shloshim amma. So you would make another form on top of this 32 by 32 by 1. You would create a new form that's 30 by 30. What was the point of that? Because by insetting it one amma in every direction, you created the yesod. So the yesod wasn't built, it was formed by the fact that you inset the next level of the mizbeach by one arm on every side. Now how tall was this form? Vegovo chamesh amos. So this form was five amos tall. Umevi chaluke avanim, you would bring smooth stones, you would pour in the cement or whatever that was. V'chozer, okay, so now you had six amas tall of the Mizbeach. You had already created the Yisod. V'chozer umevi malbin shu chavches al chavches amas v'govo gimel amas. Now, after you had this 32 by 32 on, and then a 30 by 30 on top of it, you would now build something that was 28 by 28, that was three amas tall. So, first of all, we had one amma of the Yisod, five amas there, and now we're creating another three, so we're up to nine amas. But what was the point of insetting this? To make it 28 by 28 as opposed to 30 by 30. So again, it's one amma inset on each thing. This was the sovev that we discussed yesterday, that the kohen would be able to walk around when he was putting the dam on the corners of the mizbeach. Umevi chaluke avanim, they would bring the smooth stones. And basically, v'hu makam hamaracha. So if you think about it, the top of that nine amas tall, the top of the flat part of that 28 by 28 is where the fires of the Mizbeach used to be. That was the top of the Mizbeach. V'chozer umevi malbin shu amma al amma. They would go bring a new form, a square form that they're going to fill in. That is one amma by one amma by one amma. So it's a square. Umevi chaluke avanim fulamos. And they would bring these smooth, wet stones, ben gedolos, ben talnos, whether they were large or small, umevi zefetz or kunya. And they would bring the cement stuff, umumache, and they would liquefy it, v'shofich, and they would pour it out, v'zehu keren. And that's how they made a keren. They did it on the corner, amma by amma by amma, v'chein l'chol keren v'keren. And so they did for each of the four corners. So this described how the Mizbeach was built. But what's the problem? Is that we've basically described the creation of a square that was a full 32 by 32. And that square is what created the Sovev. So if it is according, and this works well according to Levi, who understands that the Sovev was built all the way around, just that you couldn't pour the blood on some part of it. But according to Rav, who says that there was actually no physical Sovev, I don't get it, that you have this 32 by 32, you have a square, that there was no cutout for this absence of the Yesod. Now the Gemara says, V'chitema, we're on the base now, he says, V'chitema, the Gaia's lay, Avanim Shlemos, I'm sorry, the Chitema, the Gaia's lay, so maybe you'll tell me, okay, yes, they created that 32 by 32 square, but then they cut out one amma, all of that area that there was, that we're saying there was no sov, that there was no yesod, that maybe they cut it out afterwards. The Gemara says that's a problem because avana shlemos ksiv, it's written that you should have whole stones, that the mizbeach need to be made out of whole stones, and those needed to be smooth. So the Gemara says, the machis midi mituse v'shakulei. He says he lowered something beneath it and then took it out. What's he saying? He's saying that when they created this square, 32 by 32, before they filled it up with rocks and with the sid and whatever, that what they would do is they would stick in these wood boards that were basically, a filler. So it would be, one would be 30 amas, because you had the two amas, the top of the northern and the one of the eastern, then you would have, let's say, a 30 amma board, and then starting from the end of that board, you'd have a 29 amma board that takes you over to the western portion. So you'd fill in the form with these boards, then you would pour in the rocks and the cement and all that stuff, and then when it was before dries, Rashi explains, you'd pull out the boards, and what would you have? You would have a smooth surface that had this cutout. So you're right, you cannot cut it out physically once it's already there, but you could put in these boards such that it would never form in that space, and even though your malbein, your tsura, your form that you created was 32 by 32, the outcome had this yesod cut out because there, you had put something in, and then you pulled it out before the whole mixture had dried. Now the Gemara says, and I'll tell you that this is a valid way of doing things, d'ilo te'mahachi, because if you don't say this, hadam Rav Kahana, this that Rav Kahana said, avanim shel kranos chalulos hayu. He says that the stones of the kranos, of the horns, those amma by amma things on top, they were, that they had a hollow, they had a pipe or something that would come out of it, that would go into it. The chsiv, because it's written, umalu kimizrak kizavius mizbeach. So this is a pasuk in Zechariah, which is describing, it says that something was filled like a bowl, a mizrak, or a basin, or something like that. Kizavis hamizbeach, like the zavis hamizbeach. So it's describing something that holds something. So you see that the zavis hamizbeach, that the corners of the mizbeach were capable of something going into them. It could hold something. It had a base kibul. It was a receptacle. So now the Gemara says, Hachanami avanim shleimos amar rachmanam. So how could you have this? Because if you created the amma by amma square as a perfect square, and then you were to drill in, you would end up with rough surfaces that don't qualify for the mizbeach. Elo demachis midimi tusei v'shakolei. So rather, what do you have to say? That when they were creating the keren, when they were creating this amma by amma, they would stick in something, a stick or something, and then before it would dry, they would pull it out, and that's why the Karen was able to be makabal something. So just like you say it by the Karen, hachinami, the machis midi mitusei v'shakulei. So too here, that they put something into the Karen, when it was a form, before they filled it in with the zephis and the sid and the kunya, that they would put a stick there, and then they would pull the stick out. It's very interesting, Tosus, this long Tosus on the right, Avanim Shlemos, most of the time there Tosus is talking about trying to prove that there was a shamir. The shamir was the worm that could, or something like a worm that could eat through things. So Tosus spends time proving that even in the Bayis Sheni, they had a shamir. So why not use a shamir? Why are you doing this whole process? Maybe the answer was that. And then Tosus says that maybe because the shamir, while it was good at cutting things, it didn't do it so smoothly. And the standard by the Mizbeach is you have to be able to run your fingernail on it and it wouldn't nick. So it says the shamir wasn't such a efficient cutter that it was smooth enough. Although Tosfos asks, he says that's the problem because the Beis HaMikdash itself needed to be built from Evan Shlema. And he says so, and yet we see that they used the shamir in the Beis HaMikdash to build it in the first case. So if it was smooth enough for the Beis HaMikdash, it should be smooth enough for the Mizbeach. So Tosfos leaves off with a question on that. Also, the top Tosfos just says something. He doesn't answer. He says, Tema meikara li'avid malbin b'inyan zeh. He says, Tosfos asks owners, instead of doing this whole thing where you create 32 by 32 and then you stick in this wood, why don't you make a slightly more complicated form? And you do it, in other words, when you put, instead of doing four boards, you do more, and you make the little cutouts. Tosa says, he doesn't know why he couldn't do it. One other thing, Tosa, it was a tough day for Tosa. He had a lot of questions without answers. Tosa asks also that, the question was, what exactly was the function of these holes in the Karen? So Rashi says, because they would have the mizbeah, that they would have the dam from the chatas, that it could go into the keren, and that was the purpose of the holes. But Tosfos has trouble with that because he says, why would that make any sense? Because if you think about it, where does the blood of the chatas get applied? It gets applied on the side of the keren. So what does it help you to have holes on the top of the keren? So, some people, I think the Tzon Kaddishim says that if the blood splashed, I saw also in Mikdash David, he brings that he understood that the holes were actually on the side of the Karen. In other words, who said it was at the top of the Karen? So that they were at the side of the Karen, so then when you would put the Dam could go into the Mizbeach that way. But in any event, Tosfos leaves off on that question, why Rashi would think that. Okay, so now you've covered all the Tosfos on this page. Okay, Darish Rava. We're picking up seven lines down. Darish Rava, my dechsiv, what's this that's written? So the pasuk says as follows. It says V'David Barach, the David ran away, so he was running away from Shaul. Vayimaleit and he went. Vayavo el Shmuel Haramasa, and he came to Shmuel in Ramah. So Shmuel was from Ramah. Vayaged lo es kol asher asa lo Shaul, and he told Shmuel about everything that Shaul did to him. Vayelech hu Shmuel, and he and Shmuel went. Vayeshvu b'noyos, and they went. They resided, or they went to Noyos. Vayugad the Shmuel lemar. Vayugad the Shaul lemar was told to Shaul, saying, "Hine David b'noyos b'rama." David is b'noyos b'rama. So the Gemara says as follows. What's this that's written? He says, I don't get it. Noyos and Ramah are two different places. So what does it mean that it was told to Shaul that David and Shmuel were in Noyos, Ramah, Noyos, Beramah? In other words, those are two different places. Which place were they? So the Gemara says, Ela Shehayu Yoshvim Beramah. They were sitting in Ramah, which was where Shmuel lived. And they were engaging in the beauty of the world. What does that mean? That they were trying to figure out something about the Beis HaMikdash. Amri, they said as follows. Ksiv, it's written in the Pasuk that the Pasuk in Devarim says, Ki pale mimcha davar lamishpat, that if you have a matter of judgment, ben dam ladam, ben din ladim, ben neg lanega, divrei rivos b'sharecha, you have arguments in your gates, the kamta of Yalisa el amakom asher yivcha Hashem lokecha bo, and you should get up and go up to the place where Hashem chose. Why? What was there? Because they would send someone if a bezdin didn't know what was going on. A 3-person bezdin, they would go to 23-person bezdin. If they didn't know it, they would go to the 71. They would go to the. We learned this in Sanhedrin. There was the one outside, then there was the inside. You know, we talked through this process, but basically, it says that everyone would go up to go to the Sanhedrin. So what do you see? That if everyone, in order to get to the Sanhedrin, goes up, he says, it teaches you that the Beis HaMikdash was higher than any part of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, Gavoya Mikol Aratzos, and Eretz Yisrael itself was higher than all other lands. Rashi points out, that's not really relevant to our sugya, it's just a continuation of the theme. It comes from a different pasuk. But in any event, What's the point of what's going on here? Is that David and Shmuel were trying to figure out where should we build the Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash needs to be built at the highest point. They didn't have topographic maps. So the question was, how did they figure out? Lo have yadei duchtei hecha. They didn't know where was the right place to have the Beis HaMikdash. So when it says they were sitting in Ramah and they were dealing with Nayos, means they were sitting in Ramah and trying to figure out where is the right place to build the Beis HaMikdash. Aisu Sefer Yoshua, and they brought out a Sefer of Yoshua. Why? Because in Sefer Yoshua it talks about all of the portions of the different Shvatim. It says, and Rashi points out that there's something distinct about the description in Yoshua of the portions of Yehuda and Binyamin. And obviously, as we learned yesterday, the Yehuda and Binyamin, that the intersection of their portions is where the Beis HaMikdash was built. Because we said the Mizbeach, part of it was in Binyamin, part of it was in Yehuda. So one of the things that's interesting, that's distinct about Yehuda and Binyamin, which presumably drew the attention of David HaMelech and Shmuel, which was that by all of the other Shvatim, it would basically describe three borders and then say, and the fourth border was up against such and such Shevet. Right? So it would not describe all of them. But by Yehuda and Binyamin, it actually describes independently all four borders. And even the border that was common, it describes it in each case, one starting from one direction, the other from the other direction, but it's describing the same outcome. So that drew their attention, presumably, to the border between Yehuda and Binyamin. It says, Bekulog Sivi Vayered, so here the Girsa is, he says, "Vayered hagvul v'sa'ar v'tar hagvul," which means that the border went down. We don't have that word v'ala. We take out according to the Shinur Nischos that the in all of them it's written that the border went down, the border turned. But b'shevet Binyamin, by this portion between Binyamin and Yehuda, v'ala ksiv vayered lo ksiv. The whole way it's basically describing went up from here and up from there and up from there. So what do you see, Amri? So David HaMelech and Shmuel, or he wasn't Melech yet then, but he says, Amri Shmamina Hacha Hu Makoma. So they figured out, based on this, you know, you see that all, when it's describing, everything it's describing is going up. So it describes going up to a place. It talks about Yevusi, which is Yerushalayim, and basically, Savar Lemivnei Be'ein Etam, the Madli. So initially they thought to build it in Ein Etam. Why? Which was the highest place. Because what happened, the way the Psukim describe it, is they came up to Yerushalayim and they went up from there. So Rashi says near Be'enai Shehu Me'ein Me'niftoach Ha'omer Sham Acher Aliyas Ahar Asher Al Pnei Gai Ben Hinnom, after going up from the mountain, which was on the face of the valley of Ben Hinnom, which is by Yerushalayim, Ashelo Nichtav Yerida Ben Tayim. It doesn't list any downward. So you see that the actual the highest place was this place called Ein Etam. So they wanted to build it there, Amri. But then they decided, you know, let's think about this. Netati Be Kliel. We should actually go back down a little bit. We shouldn't go to the highest point. Why? Kedechsiv, because it's written, Ubeng Seif of Shachain. Between his shoulders, he'll rest. So, you know, the idea is that, it was supposed to be down a little bit because it should be between the shoulders. So if there's an area that's higher, and then they built the Beis HaMikdash a little bit lower, which was, I think, 30 something amas lower, I think that's Gemara in Yuma, that's to accomplish that pasuk of Bank Seif of Shachin, that they built the Beis HaMikdash. I guess and you see in some of the Svarim, especially in the Chassidish Svarim, they discuss like the idea that you have to lower your shoulder to be there for your fellow man. So the idea that you go to the highest point and then go a little lower so they are accessible. But in any event, the idea here is that Bank Seif of Shachin, that's where the Beis HaMikdash was, and this is how they figured it out. V'ibayis Ema, Alternatively, they had a different reason why they went down off of Ein Etam, which was the highest place, and went a little bit lower. Because Gemiri, the Sanhedrin Bechelko de Yehuda, Veshchina Bechelko de Binyamin. Because they had a tradition that the Sanhedrin was going to be in the Chelik of Yehuda, and the Shechina was going to be in the Chelik of Binyamin. How do we know that Sanhedrin is in the Chelik of Yehuda? So Rashi says, "Umechaykek mi bein raglav." When it was talking about Yehuda, it said that the malucha would be by Yehuda, and it says "Umechaykek," the lawgiver mi bein raglav would come out from Yehuda. And the question is, there was no such rule that all lawmakers, all members of Sanhedrin, needed to be from Yehuda. So rather, what does it mean that the lawmakers will be in the Chelik of Yehuda? Was the idea that the Sanhedrin Agdola, the 71 Sanhedrin, had to be in the Chelik of Yehuda? But we know that the Shechina, that the Beis HaMikdash itself, or at least the Mizbeach and the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Heichal, was all in the Chelik of Binyamin. He says, "V'imad linan lei," and if they would put it all the way at that highest point, the topography was such that Mispalik Tuva, that the portion of the Lishkas Hagazis and the Chelik of Binyamin, in order to the Sanhedrin and the earliest place they could build the Beis HaMikdash would be such that it's too far apart for both the Sanhedrin and the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim to be within the same structure in the same space. So Mutov, the Netati Bei Porta, that it was better that they should take it down a little bit on the topography till they were in a place where within the confines of the Beis HaMikdash they could incorporate both an element of the Chelik of Binyamin and a Chelik of Yehuda, so that the Sanhedrin could be in the Beis HaMikdash complex, together with the parts that had to be in the Chelik of Binyamin. Kedich Siv, as it's written, Ubeng Seif of Shachin, that it's between the shoulders, he'll reside. Okay? V'al Davar Zeh. So in other words, basically you see that they went through this whole process of figuring out where should the Beis HaMikdash be built. V'al Davar Zeh Niskana Doig HaDomi B'David. And basically, Doig HaDomi, was jealous of David that he figured it out. And people bring the Marsha brings that because Doig himself tried to figure out where the Beis HaMikdash was, and because Doeg was jealous of David, Doeg is the one who went to Shaul and told him about that the Achimatz in the Kohen Gadol and Nov Yarkonim had helped him, and then that led to Doeg killing all of the Nov Yarkonim. So how do we know that Doeg was jealous of this? Kedersiv, ki kinas beischa achalasni. That the Pasuk in Tehillim says that the jealousy over your house, achalasni, ate me or devoured me. The idea is that because that he was saying that it was Doeg's jealousy of David knowing where the bias of Hashem is, the Beis HaMikdash, that caused him to cause David all this grief. Iksiv, and it's written, also in Tehillim and Kuflam and Beis, Zachar Hashem le David es kol anoso asher nishba. So the pasuk says Zachar Hashem le David es kol unoso, that Hashem remembered for David, or he should remember all of his travails, his challenges, asher nishba l'Hashem nada la'avir Yaakov, that he swore to Hashem. He said im avo ba'o obesi. He says, if I'm going to come into the tent of my house, im el al eres yitzuai, im eten shnas le'enai lafapai tenuma, that if I'm going to sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids, ad emsa makom l'Hashem mishkanos l'avir Yaakov, until I find a place for the Beis HaMikdash. So basically, David made all these shavuos that he's not going to go into his house, he's not going to sleep. The Mefarshim discuss how was it that he made, it wasn't that a shvuah shav. A lot of the Achronim discussed that, but in any event, he said, you see that there was this idea that he had, trials and tribulations over finding the Beis HaMikdash. That's because Doeg caused him all this trouble on this. So then the end of those psukim over there in Kuflam Bey says, Hine Shimanuha Be'efrasa, Mitzanua b'steyar. So the Gemara says, I heard it in Ephrasa, I found it in the steyar. So this is again a reference to David finding the Beis HaMikdash. Be'Ephrasa, what does that mean? Ze Yoshua, the Kasi me Ephraim. that Yeshua came from Ephraim, which sounds like Ephrasa. So the idea is that they found the source for the Beis HaMikdash by looking in Sefer Yeshua. And it says, Mitzonua Besteyar, I found it in the fields of the forest, Zeh Binyamin. That's a reference to the Chelik of Binyamin, Dechsiv Binyamin Zev Yitroth. That Binyamin was a wolf who would be in the fields and in the forest. So you see from the Psukim, A, you see that he talks about his trials and tribulations. That relates to Doeg, who caused him all this grief over his being able, over his jealousy of David HaMelech being able to find the Beis HaMikdash. And you see that the Psukim continue and say that he found it in Sefer Yeshua to figure out that it should be in the Chelik of Binyamin. Says the Mishnah, Zivche Shalmei Tzibor Vashamos. So we're finishing up with our Kodesh HaKadoshim. So we have the Shalmei Tzibor. There's one kind of Shlomim that comes to the Tzibor, which is that there used to be two lambs that were brought with the Shtei Alechem. I referenced yesterday, there's also a Chatos that's brought, but basically the Shtei Alechem, the two loaves that would come on Shavuos, also had, aside from a Chatos and other things, it had Shalmei Tzibor, it had two of these lambs. So it says the Shalmei Tzibor as well as the Ashamos. Now the Mishnah is going to interject and say, what are the different Ashamos? Elohein Ashamos. Asham Gezelos. So Asham Gezelos, as Rashi points out, is a Shavuos HaPikadon. That's if someone has money that belongs to someone else for whatever reason, and he swears that he doesn't have it. So then when he admits, so he has to pay him back, he has to give a chomesh, and he has to bring in Asham Gezelos. Asham Me'ilos, similarly, if someone by accident utilizes the something that belongs to Hektish, they have to restore it to Hektish, they have to pay a chomesh, and they need to bring this Asham Me'ilos. Asham Shivcha Charufa, Rashi explains that a Shivcha Charufa here is a reference to if there was an Eved Ivri, one of the exceptions to general rules, if someone has an Eved Ivri, the master can give a Shivcha Kenanis to that Eved Ivri. And so that's what happened here, is that someone violated a Shivcha Charufa, so she's not really married to the Jew, but there's enough of a connection that he needs to bring an Asham. There's other versions of what that means, but Rashi, will go with Rashi here. Asham Nazir. So if you have a Nazir at the end of his, if a Nazir becomes Tameh during the period of his Nazirus, he has to go through a process. Among other things, he brings in Asham Nazir. Asham Metzora, that we've discussed this, we were talking about this the other day with the putting the blood on the ear and the thumbs. That's the Asham that a Metzora brings at the end of his process. Asham Taloi, we know that an Asham Taloi is if someone is mesupik. They have a doubt whether they're obligated to bring a chatas because they for example, there was two pieces of what he thought was acceptable meat or shuman, and it turns out that afterwards he finds out that one of those two pieces was chalev, but he has no idea which one. So had he eaten chalev in a regular instance, that would be something, if he knew for sure, then he would have to bring a chatas. Why? Because if it's something that if you eat intentionally, the person is chayav karis. If he eats it by accident, he's chayav a chatas. But in this case, he's not sure if he's chayav the chatas. So therefore, he brings an ashram tolui, which protects him until such time as he can ascertain, if he can ever ascertain which piece was which. So all of these things, these, zivche shamet tzibur, as well as the ashamos that we mentioned, shchitasa metzafon, they got shechted in the north, the kibodaman klisharis metzafon, and the kabbalah is in a klisharis in the north, the daman tayun shte matanashen arba, much like an ola, it gets the applications at the southwestern and northeastern corners, that each of those matanos cover the two sides, as we learned yesterday, that it's eaten inside of the curtains, which we said yesterday was the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, lezichrei kohuna, for the male kohanim, lechol machol, it can be eaten in any fashion, unlike a carbon pesach, which had to be roasted, leyom v'layla, for a day, and the following night, ad chatzos, we talked about yesterday, really, it's till the morning, but they chachamim asusiyav, to make it until chatzos. Yeah.